Hey dudes, this is Michael, one of the co-hosts of Two Dudes in a Nest, the show you're about to listen to. If you are a first-time listener and you've picked one of these older episodes to listen to, maybe because it's one of your favorite games on the NES, I don't blame you. However, I just want to warn you that some of these episodes are 3, 4, maybe 5 years old, and this is before we got new audio equipment. This is really before we even knew what we were doing, but we want to leave them on the feed as long as we can because we want to have plenty of episodes for people to listen to. I just want to give a fair bit of warning before we get started. If you're an older listener and you're going back to listen to an episode again, you may hear something new because right before the episode starts here, we're going to have an advertisement, which is probably not what you heard the first time through. But now we started doing ads in our shows, so we're going to have an ad here. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. And if you do enjoy, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to as many episodes as you can. It always helps us out. And tell a friend too. That'd be nice. Enjoy the show. Hey, Justin.
Justin?
How about hey, Sean?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, dude?
Not a whole lot, man. What about you?
I miss my pal.
Yeah, it seems a little
something
empty
happened,
over there.
Something happened to Justin this episode. So we're gonna have to try to swing it without him. The history
okay.
is gonna be it's gonna be lacking. I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you right off the bat. But we'll figure it out.
I'm sure between the two of us, we can probably cover some of that.
Yeah, and then we can probably make up the other half or whatever we're missing. We'll just make up the rest.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we were planning on having Justin on, but unfortunately he couldn't make it. But we also got Sean on here, honorary dude Sean. And one of the reasons I want to bring Sean on is he's branched out.
I wouldn't say branched out. I've just, I've taken a step in another direction. I'm still here with you guys.
That's true. But do you you want to tell people a little bit about what you're doing now?
Yeah, sure. So about a year ago, a couple of friends and I, we got together and we started getting together every Thursday. And it was a little joke because we're not exactly the kind of guys that you would imagine getting together and just doing tabletop gaming or whatever in general. So we called it Nerdy Thursday. And as time went on, sure, like some people left, and pretty much right till it got to the point where it was just my buddy Mitch and I. And when we first started this, the whole goal kind of it started to morph into we're really entertaining together, so we should probably try to put something together. So we did. And so we're actually on episode, I want to say 6 of a podcast that we started about a month and a half ago that we're putting out weekly. And we've got some pretty exciting stuff in the works. We actually have an interview with some Hollywood actor tomorrow, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, and we're hoping to get that up not this week but next week. So
it better not be Tom Arnold, because if you got Tom Arnold, you got to give him to us first.
I'll talk to him about that. I was actually about to go try to find him on Twitter. He's from like Idaho, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a bunch of people that tried to get him on here, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I think Eric Purcell is actually from Idaho, was from Idaho at one point in time, and he may have talked to him one time at a like a comedy show or something.
Yeah.
And didn't work out at the time, but there's still hope. Still got my fingers crossed.
Man, you just got to keep bashing it. Just keep bashing it. Hey, man, you got to come on our show.
I just want a promo spot. That's all. Well, I'll get there. I haven't had the time to hound him like I did David Crane for months on end.
That'd be amazing.
Anyway, so this is kind of our Halloween episode. We're going to release it around Halloween anyways. And we're going to talk about Shadowgate.
Man.
Not necessarily the most Halloween-y game, but I know it scared the crap out of me as a kid, so I think it's fitting.
Yeah, did it?
It did. Yeah. I don't know why I thought this would be a great game to play as a kid. And we'll get into this in a little bit, but there's a lot of reading, but then there's also a lot of scary music and scary pictures on the screen. So for,
yeah, there is
6-7 year old trying to read, not really knowing what he's doing, but every now and then stumbling across a scary something with some scary music and dying a lot. It's not the,
and there's some crazy deaths in this game. So I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I don't even know how I found most of them. But again, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I went to a car show this morning. I don't know. I just want to go on a tangent because I want to talk about this car show.
Yeah.
In Knoxville. It's nice. It's called Harper's Cars and Coffee. But before I talk necessarily about the car show, there's a running joke in my house. There was one night where we were all together, and it was my wife and some friends. And a friend of mine was going to this thing. It was called Cars and Coffee, where he was going the next morning, like the morning after. We were up late, maybe having an adult beverage or two.
Okay.
And so he was like, I'm going to this Cars and Coffee tomorrow. And I completely forgot that I totally had made plans with my wife for the next morning. And I said, yeah. And so the whole night I was like, yeah, man, I'm going with you. This is going to be great. I'm going with you. And then eventually, you know, later in the evening, she's like, you are not going to Cars and Cars. I'm sorry. you have plans. We're going out with my parents tomorrow. This has not happened. Cars and Cars. She's calling it Cars and Cars. That's the running joke anyway.
Yeah.
So she said, you're not going. So I said, well, okay. Well, next time I'm going. But we call it Cars and Cars now. But I finally went. It's been like a year and a half since we had that evening. And
How was it?
It was awesome. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What was your favorite car that you saw there?
Probably the Porsche GT3.
Whew.
RS. It was bright orange.
That's a very beautiful car.
it was a beautiful car. There was also probably 10 Ferraris there, maybe.
Holy smokes.
Of varying years and makes and models.
So to actually kind of carry from what you just said, just last week we had a car show up here. It mm-hmm. was like a supercar show, so it didn't have like any Mustangs or anything like that, but it had everything from like Ford GTs to like Bugatti Veyrons, like absolutely insane stuff. The real kicker was the place that they held it only had a dirt road leading to it.
Oh, that's terrible.
These cars have like an inch of clearance and just everyone's bickering the whole time. It was pretty funny, but a lot of really gorgeous cars.
Really gorgeous cars that proceeded to get really dirty and
yeah.
So that stinks. This is at a mall, and there's a lot of nice cars, but there's also it's open to anybody.
That's
so
awesome.
Basically, the entire mall parking lot's full of cars. They section off like one corner for the really nice ones, but then everybody else is just free, whatever you want. Like I drove my car, which is not anything fancy, but you know. But I was technically in the car show.
Did you pull it up?
I backed it in. You know, no, I didn't pop the. I may have revved it a couple times, just shut off. You know, it didn't make much noise, but you know. I tried it anyways.
That's funny.
I feel every time I talk about my car, I feel like, and you may not know this because you may not listen to a lot of country music like we do down here, but there's a song by Alabama that's it's something like my car ain't much, but it'll 0 to 60 in 5.2 or something like that. It's funny. I don't know.
That sounds like a country song. My song.
It's a good song, actually. I wish I could think of the name of it now.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. All right. Good tangent.
Yeah. That was fun.
All right, let's talk about the game. I'm gonna try to pull a Justin and basically just muddle my way through a Wikipedia article about Shadowgate and try to pull out highlights as I read it for the first time here. I'm not gonna read it word for word.
Sweet. I mean, it's got a great history, so I can only imagine what it's gonna have in there.
Yeah, so I'm just going to try to pretend like I'm actually pulling this knowledge from myself here. So Shadowgate is actually originally a MacVenture series game from the 80s. It's a point-and-click adventure where you actually had a mouse and you were pointing and clicking. Not for the NES, obviously. This is a MacVenture, I'm assuming, for an Apple Macintosh computer, perhaps?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. It's based on a book, maybe? Looks like there's a book series called Shadowgate, so maybe it's based on the book, or a book was based on this game after the game came out. 1987, July 30th, 1987 was the release of this game on the MacVenture platform.
developed by ICOM Simulations, Inc., and published by Kimco for the NES. Directors were Dave Marsh and Carl Roelofs. And I'm sure I really butchered that one.
Hey, at least it was an American name.
Yeah, well, maybe.
You certainly made it sound European.
Looks actually kind of... So I may have really screwed it up then, because it kind of looks European based on the spelling. And then for the NES, the composer was Hiroyuki Masuno. One of the interesting things about the NES version of this game is the Nintendo did not actually censor quite as heavily on this game as they did some others.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, with like all the coffins, and I think there's a cross at some point and a lot of skulls.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the text graphically depicts death and stuff, and they really just didn't take it. They didn't censor it and didn't take it out. There's a lot of, and we'll get into this when we talk about the game, I'm sure, but there's a lot of humorous comments on death, on your character dying during the game. And the NES and Nintendo really didn't censor it all that much.
Yeah.
Here's another little tidbit. I bet you didn't know this, but I totally did. The NES version of Shadowgate is one of the few NES games to be available in Swedish.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm, see? Learn something new every day.
I'm going to say, if this was a quiz, I already lost.
Oh, we should have done a quiz. Although I don't know who you'd compete against.
We'd have 5 questions apiece, whoever answered the most.
Oh, yeah, that would have been good. So you could ask me, I could ask you. See, that's what happens when you actually plan, when you don't plan. You come up with great ideas mid-podcast.
Justin.
All right. How about this question? This is a one of 3 or 4. I'm going to let you decide if it's 3 or 4, because I don't know off the top of my head. I can think of 3 off the top of my head. 3 or 4 Mac Venture games that were ported to the NES. What were the other 2 or 3?
I'm pretty sure there was 4 Mac Adventure games, but I think only 3 were ported. And
okay,
the other 2 are Deja Vu and Uninvited.
Bingo. Ding, ding, ding. And I don't know, is there a 4th one that was not ported, I guess?
I think so. I don't recall the name, but I'm almost 100% positive there's a 4th one.
Yeah. All right, let me open this rabbit hole. We'll go ahead and you can try to think about it.
And I want to say that Deja Vu was the first point-and-click adventure.
Ever?
Yeah, like graphical point-and-click.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
I think.
I don't know. I'm just going to trust you on that one, because I don't want to...
I'm just going to say that confidently.
Somebody, there you go.
Maybe someone will
I'll tell you, Deja Vu came out in 1985, so you're probably right.
Mm.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. It's funny that you said that it either came from a book or that it got turned into a book, because this would be incredible as a choose-your-own-adventure series.
Oh, man, that's true.
Like, I'm tempted to go home and actually play through this game and create a choose-your-adventure that literally has every choice that you need to get to the end of the game.
That would be the best. That would probably be the best way to do a guide, too.
Yeah, it'd be like 900 pages long.
Yeah,
but it'd be amazing.
Be worth it. I was just thinking, because I spoilers. I used a guide this time because for playing it for the show, because I wanted to experience more than I've ever experienced before.
Was this your first time beating it?
Yes. Nice. I was trying to every other time I've ever played it and tried to beat it, I've tried to beat it using my own brain, and my own brain is just not capable of beating this game, I don't think.
Man, there's super abstract stuff in this game.
Yeah.
As so there was.
I've never beat it without a guide, but I used a guide this time, and I was just thinking what you're talking about. That would make it for an awesome guide. Instead of them just telling you what to do, they give you options of what to do, right?
Yeah.
And then you try to do these options, and then some of them actually kill you, because there's things you can do in this game that'll kill you. So there you go. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Deja Vu 2.
Oh.
That's the one that lost in Las Vegas.
Oh. Did that get ported?
No. It does. That didn't look like it did.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
So that's the name of that one. Actually sounds like a Chevy Chase movie or something. Deja Vu 2, Lost in Las Vegas.
It's pretty great. For some reason, that makes me think of City Slickers.
Yeah?
Yeah, but in Las Vegas.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Where was it? I was in the desert. I remember hating that movie.
I think it had, I think, Billy Crystal and the other guy from the Wet Bandits or the Sticky Bandits from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. The tall, skinny guy.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of that movie.
City Slickers or Home Alone?
I didn't. Well, I like Home Alone, all right.
Yeah.
But not City Slickers. I never understood that one.
They've already played Home Alone 2 like 19 times already this month.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not.
They're already showing Christmas movies?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it came on before Halloween movies.
I believe it. Although, I mean, I guess Halloween could kind of, or not Halloween. Halloween could definitely be a Halloween movie. But Home Alone could maybe sort of be a crossover between Halloween and Christmas.
I believe it. Especially if it's set up here. Anyways.
So, I got some more history real quick. Cool. I'm going to finish this off because I'm working my way down through this Wikipedia article here. I mean, I'm working my way through my brain thinking of all these awesome trivia facts. Before Shadowgate, a novel was published by Scholastic Corporation under the pen name FX9 and was released in 1991 as part of the Worlds of Power series of video game novelizations. How about that?
Wow.
There are two sequels to the original Shadowgate. Beyond Shadowgate on the TurboGrafx-16, which I did not know about, and Shadowgate 64, Trials of the Four Towers, which I had. Have you played either one of those?
I have not. I knew both of them existed, but I had neither one of those systems growing up.
Hmm. You didn't have a 64?
I was a PlayStation kid.
Oh.
I'm sorry for you.
I guess that's true. The Shadowgate 64 was actually pretty fun. I liked it.
Yeah, was it? Did it play similar to this?
It did. You had a little more control over your person than you did in the NES version, obviously. But
makes sense.
I pretty much liked it.
Nice.
But I don't remember it a lot. I didn't play it a whole lot. But
it makes me want to check out footage of it for sure.
It's just your generic, poorly rendered Nintendo 64 game. But, you know.
Fair enough.
It doesn't hold up well graphically, to say the least. But it's, I don't know, it was all right. I haven't played it in a long time.
So. Yeah, not a lot of games do from that era, to be fair. So
no, there's only a handful. I love the Nintendo 64. There's only a handful that I still ever pop in. Like Wave Race. I play Wave Race a lot.
My buddy Mitch.
I just like Wave Race.
My buddy Mitch from the other podcast, he swears up and down all day long. He'll... If I ask him to come over and play N64 tomorrow, he'll be like, what time? I'm there. I was like, what?
Loves the 64, huh?
He does. He does. It's sick.
I don't know. I don't really understand the love looking back. I was a fanboy back then. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I played it all the time. There were just a handful of things that I just played on it all the time.
Yeah.
I played Zelda a lot. Of course, that was an awesome game. I played Mario 64. I played Wave Race, Star Fox, and all the wrestling games. And that was pretty much it.
Nice. I heard No Mercy was kind of like the game to have.
If you had four people, GoldenEye and No Mercy, you could play those all night long, every night, pretty much.
Yeah. That's pretty much the only time I ever played the 64 back in the day was when he brought it over, and he brought over GoldenEye. Oh, man. Get out some cardboard. Set up dividers because we're playing.
Yeah. No, we just went. We went screen cheat all day long.
Cheaters.
Well, I mean, everybody can do it. That was my thing. It's not cheating if everybody can do it, right?
You sound like my brother.
You just got to get good at it. So.
Wow.
Well, anyways, so N64. Okay, I got to go on one more tangent. I was going to save this for Justin, but I don't think I can hold it in.
All right.
The Nintendo Switch was announced.
Yeah.
I know everybody else has gotten to talk about it on their podcasts and things. I know you talked about it on yours, but I haven't got to talk about it yet. But just kick it off. I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts? Oh, you can ask me.
I want to know what your thoughts are.
Okay, I think it looks awesome, and I'm pumped. And just for you and all the listeners out there, I'm just saying, my birthday's in March. I don't know how much it is, but yours truly's birthday, March. So
I'm just going to put it out there, guys. I mean, that's $5 per person per month until we get there.
That's what I'm saying. No, it's cool. My wife already knows it's coming out, and my birthday's in March. I've said it about 60 times since the promos hit. So
what about it draws you to it the most? What do you love about it from what you've seen?
I just love the ability to play the exact same game home or on the go. You know, I tried doing the PlayStation Vita thing, and it's just, there's something that's as close as it's ever come. And I like it. I like the cross saving and stuff, but there's just something that's different.
I did the same thing. I picked up a Vita because I have a PS4. I picked up a Vita because I really wanted to try that, and it doesn't work. It's not the same, especially when you're looking at a little 3.5-inch screen versus from what I'm seeing on this, it looks like at least 5.5. The screen looks about the size of a, I don't even know how to compare it to an iPad because 9 different versions come out a year, but like a decent sized Kindle Fire, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not your full size like 9-inch iPad. It doesn't look like, but it's probably that size maybe, but with controllers taking up some of the space.
It looks so innovative. It really does.
It just looks awesome. And I know that it's not going to have the graphic power of a PS4 or a Xbox One, but you know what? I have the Wii U, and all the first party games, the graphics are, there's no reason for them to get any better, in my opinion, because it's all cartoony looking stuff. It's not, they're not going for realistic.
Absolutely.
I mean, Mario Kart 8 looks amazing. I mean,
but what it's going to be able to do is, from what I just saw, it's even going to be able to run Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's supposed to be able to, and that's a graphical powerhouse right there for games. And I don't know if you saw, but their third party lineup is through the roof.
The list is long.
And it's full of some big names. So,
well, another thing about the Unreal is it's easy to develop for, too, for the most part, because everybody knows how to do it already.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Unreal's been around for so long that everybody knows how to develop in the Unreal Engine. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I got a lot of high hopes.
See, when it first got announced as the NX, I didn't care at all. I had no interest in it. You know, it's like, oh, it's going to be mobile. It's going to be a console. And I'm like, oh, you know, not to be a Debbie Downer, but like, you know, who cares? I'm already bitter because I have a Wii that has X amount of games on it. And now I have a 3DS. Are you telling me I can't use these anymore? And now that I see it, I'm just like, I'm all giddy.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I was like trying to pre-order it. You can't. So yeah,
I'm in the same boat. See, I saw you know, they come out with the NX. They said what it was going to be. I mean, basically, I mean, they didn't say it, but everybody else is like, we know what it's. Everybody thinks it's, all the industry people are like, it's probably going to be a portable and a home console in one. That's what it's going to be. So in my mind, I was like, okay, yeah, that's what it's going to be. So. They're not gonna be able to. I mean, that sounds cool. That's exactly what I want. But I was kind of like, I had just got burnt out on the Vita thing. I was like, they're not gonna do it.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be. And then I see it, and I'm all in.
Completely sold. Was it you that put up a picture where, like, on both sides of the screen, both controllers come out, and somebody posted a picture where on the right side it's just a bunch of attachments.
Yeah, I posted that.
I saw that on
Reddit, and
that's funny.
I noticed that somebody had done. It's like hand drawn mock ups of what could possibly be.
Yeah,
and I was thinking as I was looking, I was like, yeah, that could actually be something. Of course, and it also sounds very Nintendo to make you buy 100 different accessories or something too, right?
Yeah, but on the flip side, it's very un-Nintendo to give you a system that right off the bat, just having the system, you have two controllers right there. I don't know what else it comes with, but being able to take those handles off, turn them sideways, and you've got two controllers. Like
two very small hand-cramping controllers, but you've got them.
Yeah, like I needed a reminder what the NES controller was like.
Yeah. It looks pretty sweet. That's all I'm saying. And
I'm super glad that everyone that I see is super amped about this, because it's so easy to have something come up like that and just get really bitter. Look at what Nintendo has done for the last couple of systems in the last couple of years, and be like, oh, they're just going to do it again. There's genuine excitement in the air about this, and that buzz is just going to mean great things for Nintendo if everyone gets on board. And you know, if everyone's on board, the third party support's always going to be there. So,
yep. If you have people buying the system, then you're going to have third parties. If you don't have people buying the system, you're not going to have third parties. Nintendo can, you know, arguably hold a console on their own as long as they're able to release enough games.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. If they're not going to be supporting a home console and a portable console at the same time, then they should be able to basically support, you know, one console with enough games.
Yeah.
To keep people happy for the most part, I would think. But only time will tell.
I have one more question about the Switch for you. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the way that they revealed it? Are you happy that they waited so long? Or would you have preferred that they announced and showed it off months ago?
Well, I will say this. I don't mind that they showed it off now and that it's 6 months away or whatever it is. I actually kind of like that move a little bit. But I do think that they need to come out quickly now with anything negative. Like if the battery sucks, mm-hmm. or if the price has to be a little bit higher than everybody's thinking, like if it actually has to be $400 to make this work or yeah. $500 to make this work, and the battery's only going to last 3 hours while you're playing a game or something, anything bad or negative, I feel like they need to go ahead and kind of leak that out now so that we can get mad about it, because everybody's going to be like, oh, well, we knew it. It's too good to be true. It can't work.
Right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. And then by the time March rolls around, I'll be like, all right, I'm back in. I'm ready to go. You know what I mean?
Nice.
So, but I don't mind the long delay to talk about it, and then now a fairly quick release. What do you think about that?
I completely agree. I think it was the best decision they could have done with everything that's happening with all the other systems right now. If they announced this months ago, it would have just been overshadowed with mm-hmm. you know, all the hubbub that was the PlayStation VR and the new versions of those systems. And, you know, those are already people who have those and they're already in that market. So they're already going to get invested in the announcements for those. So whatever Nintendo announced 5 months ago would have just, you know, slipped the mind. So this was so brilliant for them to do this. And I think it paid off 100%.
Yeah, I think so too. Everybody's excited, you know. What do you think about the cartridges?
Ooh.
It obviously is taking cartridges of some, well, cartridges, like SD cards, basically, but still.
I like it a lot. So Mitch and I had a debate the other day, PS versus N64. And the first thing he said was, you know why I don't play any of my old PlayStation games? Because they're all scratched up, they're broken, they won't read. Something like a disc is timeless, or a cartridge is timeless. You know,
For the most part,
you know, I can still go home and I can polish up a couple of NES cartridges, toss them in and start playing them. I think that's smart. I think they're running off of like high capacity SD cards, basically, aren't they? From what I've heard.
This is the time. If you're going to switch to SD cards, now is the time to do it, because 2 or 3 years ago to have an SD card that had 100 gigs of memory on it was really expensive.
Yeah.
But the prices have been just dropping on these SD cards lately because all the phones use them, and that's what a lot of people are switching to, the solid state SD, whatever. I don't know all the jargon about it. But I know that now they've gotten to the point where they can hold more data than a disc. They're more durable than a disc. And the price to produce them is going way down to where you can basically get more data on these things and for a cheaper price than ever before. So now's the time to jump on this format. And I think it's the future, really.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And for a system that is touting itself as being so easy to take around, to be able to go ahead and release your games onto little cartridges, little discs, you know, SD discs, just makes it so much easier to really make that your go anywhere system. And that's really why, like, the 3DS works, because you don't have to lug around these silly, I don't know if you remember the old PSPs, but the UMDs.
Oh, yeah. I hated those things.
Those are so dumb.
I hated those things. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. We should probably talk about Shadow Game, but I got one more thing.
I love is tangents.
Well, this will probably be the best treat for the listeners as far as tangents goes, because I know people want to listen to and talk about Nintendo Switch stuff. I know I've downloaded every episode of everything I could possibly get podcast wise to listen to people talk about Switch, and on top of that, I've downloaded podcast episodes from podcasts I never even listened to just because I wanted to hear them talk about the Switch. So it's a hot topic right now. So I know people aren't going to care that much.
I think it's my most downloaded episode.
Probably. Yeah. I don't see the problem is ours is going to be titled Shadowgate. I should put Shadowgate and then in parentheses Nintendo Switch. I may do that actually.
That's brilliant. Just tag it Nintendo hashtag Switch.
However, I don't know how to do SEO stuff on the internet, but I got to figure it out just to get Switch on there somehow.
Nice.
But one more thing, and then we should probably move on to more Shadowgate stuff. The titles that that were on the Wii U, I think they are very likely to come to the Switch.
Yeah.
However, I think we're all going to have to buy them again. And if you bought them on your Wii U,
Like you just said, it's such a Nintendo thing to do. But on the flip side, we saw footage of a new Mario.
Yeah.
Mario
64 style Mario.
Yeah, yeah, it was super. To me, it was super reminiscent of like Super Mario Sunshine, just without the backpack.
Yeah, well, the game that everybody really wanted, right?
I like that game.
Yeah, no, I liked it too, but I've tried to go back and play it again, and the backpack just wears me out.
You know, I'm just excited for new games. If you know, people don't mind me saying, I'm not one of those guys. Like, I don't buy a console for it to be backwards compatible. I still have my system, and chances are if I'm buying a new system, I'm buying a new system for new experiences. So I don't mind that they're going to have people buy them again, because I won't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just want the fact that these awesome games that a lot of people missed out on, I just want them to be available. Like,
yeah.
Super Mario 3D World is probably my favorite Mario game in a long, long time.
Is that the one with the cat?
Yeah, this one with the cat.
Gotcha.
Well, you know. I like cats. I don't really like cats, but they're okay. Anyways, but the cat costume's awesome. In 3D Worlds, it's probably my favorite Mario game in a really, really long time. And
yeah,
I just feel like a lot of people missed out on it because they didn't get a Wii U, and that's the only way you can play it right now. But
that's a good call.
If they bring it to the Switch, then a lot of people get another shot at it. Mario Kart 8 is probably my favorite Mario Kart I've ever played.
That's my favorite Mario Kart ever.
It controls so perfectly. It's an awesome Mario Kart. And I want people to, well, actually in the commercial, they basically have it right in the promo spot, the trailer.
Yeah. They did have that.
It looks like Mario Kart anyway.
No, they definitely had that unless it's a new one.
It may be a new one. I know there's King Boo in it. So either it's an upgraded version of Mario Kart 8 or it's a new Mario Kart. Because I saw King Boo, and King Boo's not in Mario Kart 8, I don't think.
Oh, man. You have me wanting to go back and rewatch that whole video all over again, man.
Yeah, you should. But first, did you have this cart? Did you have Shadowgate when you were a kid?
I did.
30 minutes later.
I did. This is this was one of, like, 10 games that I had as a kid that I played rather religiously. I absolutely love this game. Like, this was tossed in there for me with DuckTales and Crystalis and Little Mermaid.
There you go. Yeah. My wife asked if we could play that game just the other day, actually. She said, do you have Little Mermaid? I said, I think I do, actually.
I love that game. I have no shame.
do you remember how you got Shadowgate? Did you just...
I do.
Pick it up.
So when I was little, my grandma gave us her Nintendo because my gram's the gaming grandma. And so she gave us her Nintendo when she got a SNES. And I think that was with like a handful of games that she gave us.
Cool.
So I got that probably when I was like, I want to say like 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a hard game when you're 5. Trust me. I know. I did not have it myself as a kid. I never owned it. But I remember renting it probably at least once a month. Nice. Because I wanted to beat it so bad. But I rented it once a month probably when I was a kid from the Pick a Flick. And, you know, I tried and tried and tried, but I never could beat it. But eventually, I guess I just stopped trying. Because I remember renting it religiously, like once a month for a year, and then just stopped eventually. I think I just gave up.
See, and that's so hard. That's probably why you didn't beat it. It's so hard to just play it for a couple of days a month and then come back to it. Because, you know, you don't remember all the stuff that you died from. And it's just like one of those games you just have to just grind out, you know?
Yeah. And I tried to take notes, but I was maybe 8 or 9 years old at the time. Fortunately, I didn't play it much whenever I was a really little kid. I had my Nintendo when I was probably 4 or 5 years old, but I didn't try it back then. Cause I think my mom probably didn't let me rent it until I was a little bit older.
It's got a big cover.
There's a scary gargoyle on the cover. She probably thought I would get scared, which she was right. I did, but I got scared much later in life, you know, 3 or 4 years later than she thought.
The scariest part about the cover to me was like the red tail breaking out of the stone. I don't know why. Every time I looked at that, I was like, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was scary, but I still tried. I didn't actually buy it until much later. I think I was probably maybe my mid-20s. I think I picked it up. When I started picking up retro games again, I saw it and I was like, hey, I remember that game. I had the Shadowgate 64. I was more familiar with Shadowgate 64 than I was with the Nintendo one, mainly because I kind of forgot about the Nintendo one somehow. Mm-hmm. I rented it all the time and then I gave up on it. And I think I just blocked it out. Like I never wanted to see it again. Suppress I never wanted memory. To think about it. And then it all came rushing back, much later. But it's, I've had it for a while. I don't play it that often. And I think it's just always bothered me that I couldn't beat it on my own, you know?
Well, I'm glad that you were able to actually get that off your gaming bucket list today.
Yeah, it doesn't take long at all to beat either. No. When you use a guide, it's really short. I think it took me maybe 30, 45 minutes tops.
Nice.
And most of that time was me like looking at my phone, reading the text, trying to figure out what to do next, you know?
Nice. That's pretty great.
Tell me a little bit about your experiences as a kid playing this game.
Oh, man.
I told you that it scared me all the time.
This game didn't scare me, and I started playing this way back when I was seven. Yeah, six or seven, I started playing this game. I started super young.
You're so brave.
I know. Shucks. So I started super young. This game, it never scared me. I thought of it as more of like this fantasy going through a castle. I loved the music and I loved trying to figure everything out. And you actually mentioned something at the top of this show that made me smile because I jotted it down myself, but it's the opposite. What I really loved about this game was that when I was little, I was a big reader. I loved reading. And so pretty much anything that I could sink my teeth into that was super heavy into reading, I jumped into it. So this game was perfect because it was the first time I learned a lot of words. I never knew what a gauntlet was before I played this game, but I knew what it was when I was done with it.
I think I probably learned gauntlet from this game too, and gargoyle.
Yeah, exact. Gauntlet, gargoyle. I learned how scepter was spelt. Yeah. So yeah,
wraith for me. Although I think I pronounced it wrong.
Yeah. Wrath.
Wrath.
So yeah, I really love this. I've mentioned a couple times, I don't know if it's been here or in groups, I'm not one for stories. So it's kind of ironic that I love to read so much, but when it comes to games, I don't care about the story at all. I just want to play the game. And I never knew what this game was about until I beat it.
Yeah.
which is super weird. I did actually beat this when I was younger, which, as you know, is like, that's a huge feat to look back on because we're pretty similar in age, and going back to like 8 or 9, there's no internet, there's no guides, there's no mm-hmm. FAQs. And so I also didn't know anyone else who played this game. Like, no one I knew even heard of this game. So,
well, the way this game basically works, since we haven't talked about that yet, and I didn't get a manual pulled up, and I apologize to the listeners. I might get one pulled up before we finish this pod so you can hear it. But it's a first-person game. It's point and click. So you're pointing and clicking with the D-pad. You're using a finger to go point on things. And it's kind of like a Monkey Island or something like that, where you can open things and use stuff and, move. You got to click on doors to move and stuff. But it's a lot of trial and error. You can save your game. It does have a battery, so that's a bonus.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of trial and error. So really, I mean, you as a kid, I imagine what you had to take notes, know when things went wrong, and always refer back to your notes on what to, like, don't do that, you know.
I think one of the hardest parts when you're playing this game as a kid is the whole torch system. You have no idea why your torches are going out, and you're just like obsessive compulsively grabbing torches off the wall the entire time to keep them going, if you're even paying attention to them. Next thing you know, it goes black and you died. You stumbled and cracked your head. But that, I know that system when I was little, like that freaked me out because the music changes when your torches get low.
And I think that's what scared me the most when I was a kid. Yeah. Was when the torches would get low and I couldn't figure out what to do.
Yeah, it's much akin to like when you're playing Super Mario 3 and you've got like 90 seconds left, you know? But yeah, that part makes it super tense.
I will say, and maybe I'm just a dummy when it comes to this sort of thing. I'm more of a math guy, so reading and like reading comprehension, you know, my brain doesn't go that direction. But the torches, I even as an adult, like today, earlier today, I was trying to figure out how to get past certain parts of the game. I'd give it a little shot first before I'd go to the guide, you know.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how to relight torches, and I couldn't figure out because I knew I had to relight torches, and that I knew that I needed to keep, like the Wraith part. Spoiler alert, everybody! You have to throw a torch at the Wraith. I didn't know how to. Couldn't figure out how to do it. Even reading the guide, it says throw a torch at the Wraith. I'm thinking, okay, use torch on Wraith. Nope.
Yeah. Okay. And there's a special torch.
Yeah, there's a special torch that's different from the other torches.
Yeah.
But it says they're both called torches, but one has torch and then the number of torches, and one just has torch.
Like, how would you have figured that out?
And not on top of that, you have to select. You can't. I thought you had to select maybe like a torch with a number beside it, and then select the one that's by itself, torch. Nope. You have to go up, kind of off to the side, and select the torch that's lit in your inventory that's actually a picture of a torch, not a word torch, and pick that and select torch, and then it throws it. Honestly, even with the guide, that was probably the hardest part of the whole game for me, just because I could not figure out how to select the torches that I needed to throw.
That's hilarious.
But that's kind of what this game is, right?
I don't even want to know how much trouble you had getting the spear back out of the lake.
Oh, that's another part. Oh, man. That part, okay, I take it back. The torch part, that's nothing compared to the lake and the skeleton. Is that the skeleton part with the skeleton? And the, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a shark in the water, and yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but it's fun. I mean, looking back, I had a good time doing it. I would recommend people probably use a guide nowadays.
Absolutely. I would 100%.
Just for time's sake. Yeah. For nothing else, for time's sake. Because this is a fun game, a fun like hour-long game if you... Not even that long, probably 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how much you want to mess around before you go to the guide. But
and I would even say, if you don't mind, like if you do like this game, if you go back and you play this game using a guide and you really like it, they just did a remake of the game 2 years ago that I personally bought on Steam. It's gorgeous, and it's not a one-to-one remake of the game. Like, there's actually stuff in it that's different. And you can play on varying tiers of difficulty. So, like, the harder you play, like, the more stuff that you actually have to use and pay attention to. And it's incredible. It's really, really awesome to come back to and play. Like, literally after this is done recording, I'm re-downloading it on Steam so I can play it tonight. Because I'm so jazzed to play it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to go on there and check it out. It's gorgeous. I would try to check it out now, but I think my computer has got too much stuff going on right now. So I'll make a note. I'm going to check it out after this.
And a special note for you guys, if you do get that, I'm pretty sure it comes with the Mac Adventure versions of all of the games. And it and it comes with the NES version of Shadowgate. That I think you can actually switch, like just by pressing a button, you can switch between the new updated graphics and that game.
Oh, no, that's a cool idea. It's kind of like the Halo Anniversary Edition or whatever, where you can just push a button and it switches back and forth.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to shout that out because it's awesome.
No, that's good. I didn't know about that, actually. So I'm going to have to check that out.
Nice.
The manual. I pulled up the manual.
Nice.
Told you I was going to try to do it. Right off the bat, the first thing I noticed about the manual is they know that this game is hard and you're going to have a hard time figuring it out, because on the back of the instruction booklet, the back flap, it says stuck on a pedestal, toiling in the tomb room, down in a deep well and can't get out of the vault. Then take a hint from experts with the Shadowgate hint book. So it says, three levels of answers allow you to get out of a bind without taking away from the fun. Just fill it out and send in your order form on the back. So they have a book that you can order from them that gives you hints.
I'm really tempted to just write that. Does it have an address? I want to send in for one of these books.
Let's see if I can give you the address. I will give it out. You got to send $6 too. I guess a money order. It says, I can take a hint. Please send me the Shadowgate hint book for $5.95. That's pretty expensive back in
that is
90 whenever they released for the NES, 91, I think.
What's that, like 17? That's like $17.
Yeah. Wow, that's good conversion.
I guess.
Is that true? Nah. Well, I mean, we'll edit that out, so you sound really smart. Never mind. Okay, so fill out this form, and you can send it to, you ready, everybody? It's California. It's in California. It's Kimco/Sika, S-E-I-K-A, 20,000 Mariner Avenue, Suite 100, Terrence, California, 90503-1670. So send your $5.95 to this address. And if you live in California, you have to pay sales tax, which is at the time of this game was 6.5% or 39 cents per book.
Nice. So everyone listening.
And $2 for postage.
Send them $6. Which that's probably about up. That building's probably not there now. So whoever's getting these is just going to be so elated to just be getting $6 from everybody.
I wonder who is actually there. And if you sent this with a letter, like, can I please have my Shadowgate hint book, please? I wonder if they would respond.
If I got that, I would actually, I would go on eBay and I'd look one up and I'd send it to them.
See if you could buy one and send it to them.
That's dedication, man.
That's funny. As the last in the line of kings, only you possess the power to prevent the evil warlock lord. I read that really weird. Sorry. To prevent the evil warlock lord from raising the behemoth and unleashing it upon the land. Your quest lies within the castle Shadowgate with its secret passageways, collapsing floors, and armed creatures. Your courage and wisdom will see you through, but a good sword might be helpful.
Nice.
It's a pretty good story.
Nice. And you actually pretty much start with a sword, so.
Yeah, as long as you open the closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that you can actually use these items on yourself and kill yourself?
No, I never tried that. So you can kill yourself with a sword?
Yeah, you can kill yourself with a sword. You can kill yourself with an arrow. You can use the torch. If you have one torch going and you use it on the sphere, it puts out the torch and you die.
I love some of the things it says whenever you die. I meant to pull some of those up so I could read them off on the show. I know there's one that... the dudes over at Power Trip Gaming say one on Twitter that I'll save for the feedback, but
nice. Yeah, Paul and Andy.
Yeah, Paul and Andy. They have a good one on the feedback. But some of the death, they're just funny. If you play the game, you'll see them, trust me. You'll see a lot of them. So
this game's
there's
actually
no reason
worth,
for me to spoil them here.
This game's worth dying. Like when you play it, if you're playing it for fun, it's worth going out of your way to die just to see some of the things that it says. For sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it doesn't take you too far out of the game to die either.
Yeah.
As long as you remember to save. You can save pretty much anywhere. Yeah. At least it seemed to me like you could. You just go, it's just one of the options on the main screen there.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you come into a room and you don't know what you're doing. Save it. You're going to
save it and then do whatever you want. I will say, and this is kind of, we'll transition into the graphics of this game through my conversation here. Listen at me. I'm falling apart here with my speech. The last sentence was great. And then the stuttering in between just to try to explain my last sentence. Podcast gold right there. I'm gonna say that I'll edit it out and then I won't. But the game. I play it on Retron 5. That's what I play most of my games on. Some of them I go widescreen, some of them I don't. Most of them I don't go widescreen because it makes them look weird. But I will say that this game, for some reason, on the Retron, on the widescreen, stretched out, it just looks awesome.
I saw a picture you put up today. That looked pretty gorgeous.
I'm not going to lie. This may be the best looking game to upscale to HD that I've played. I don't know if it's just because it's just all clip art looking stuff, you know? But even like the letters and stuff stretch out perfectly. It's just weird. I don't know how to explain it. But it looks great. So... that was me trying to transition into talking about graphics. What do you think about this game in the graphics department?
I think it looks good. I think it looks good for what it is. It's hard to compare it to anything else on the system because it's so unique. Mm-hmm. But in terms of what it does, in terms of single single screen images because nothing's moving on there. And if anything transforms or moves, it just kind of flickers and it almost looks like a slideshow. But for what it's presenting to you, I think it gets your imagination going.
Yeah.
And I really like
it. It's not trying to do a lot.
Yeah.
It's not trying to do much, but what it does well. It actually looks a little bit better than the Mac version, the pictures that I'm looking at here.
Yeah. I saw some of those.
Some of them, the one I'm looking at ones in black and white. It definitely looks a little better than the black and white one. So there's that.
You know, when I talk about this game and I hear the word graphics, you know what the first thing that pops into my mind is?
What's that?
When you go up to the tower and you put the rod into the stone, it gets struck by lightning, and up comes this fork to hand you a wand. Now, that fork's really a skeleton arm, but every time I see that, my eyes just tell me, that's a fork.
yeah, it does look like a fork. And when you first enter the castle, you get like some googly eyes. I never could figure out what the googly eyes were until today. It just dawned on me. I was like, okay, that's the warlock dude talking to you through googly eyes. But it's just weird. They're there and then they're gone. But I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the graphics of this game, but they serve their purpose. Yeah,
they're definitely serviceable for what they do. You mentioned like Monkey Island. I love the Monkey Island games, and you can see like a lot of inspiration in those games that are being taken from these style of games that came out before them.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start somewhere, and these games are really way back at the early of even this genre of game, you know. So
yeah,
you can't fault them too much. But you mentioned earlier, and I have to agree that the music in this game is pretty awesome.
I think it's one of the like most underrated soundtracks on the NES because not many people know about this game. Or got far enough into it to really enjoy all of the musical offerings that it has. But man, this soundtrack is pretty rocking.
I was surprised at how few people really knew about this game or were aware. Sounds like a lot more people were aware of Deja Vu than they were Shadowgate. And that kind of surprised me because I'm the complete opposite. I was not aware of Uninvited or Deja Vu. I was more of a Shadowgate guy.
Yeah. I never even heard of the other two. When I was younger.
Yeah.
It wasn't until probably my late teens that I even learned about him. But whenever you hear somebody even mention Shadowgate, and this is just a testament to what Shadowgate's done, whenever you hear about Shadowgate, it's nothing but like, oh man, that was one of my favorite games when I used to play it. So
yeah, normally what I hear is, oh man, that game's so hard. Oh, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And the music is good.
Yeah.
I hear the music is good a lot. But like you said, there's not a lot of people that I've really experienced this game. I don't feel like.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, it really is.
I got unnecessarily giddy the other day when you're like, "Hey, we're doing Shadowgate. You want to do this?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, yes."
Yeah, it's funny, man. I feel bad for Justin because one, we just got through recording our Paperboy episode, and he was trying to edit it, and I was like, "Hey, we got to do a Halloween episode too. Let's get on that." And he's like, okay, all right, just that's fine, whenever. And I said, okay, can you do Sunday? And here, like the past few weeks, we've been doing Sunday nights, right?
Yeah.
And he heard Sunday and he just thought, okay, yeah, sure, we'll do Sunday. But he forgot that we've been doing them at night, like here recently. We've been doing them at night for his kids so that, you know, that after they go to bed and stuff. Yeah. But he forgot that he had to get up early.
Oh, man.
So he was like, oh, well, crap. Can we reschedule? And I was like, well, kind of told Sean I wanted to, we were going to get him on the show too. He's like, oh, okay, well, I'll make it. And then he's like, I got to go to bed, man. I'm sorry. I'm too tired. So we lost him, but I'm glad to have you on. I feel like Justin, I can't remember. When I talked to him about it, he's like, I think he said, yeah, that sounds like fun. I've never played it.
Oh, so gotcha.
He was going to have to also try to play it
mm-hmm.
in the, because this was Friday, I think, when was it? Thursday or Friday? That was when we scheduled everything. So he was going to have to try to play it and go to work at 5 a.m. every day. And so it's probably for the best that, in this particular scenario that we got you on to help supplement Justin.
Glad I could help.
Yeah. So we got one more thing to talk about here. And that is it fun? Is it worth it for the price that it's going for? I'm seeing around $10 for the price of this game. And in fact, the sticker, I don't know if I got gypped, but the sticker on my game says $9.99, and I got it like 10 years ago. So I think I got gypped because prices have only gone up.
Well, I can say that I bought this for my stepdad for, I want to say, Christmas. And I paid, you know, mom and pop shop, I paid like $18 for it. No questions asked. I would pay easily $18 for it. For $10, I'd get two copies.
Yeah.
You know?
I think this game, like I said, it's a good 30 minutes to an hour's worth of fun if you want to actually plow through it and use a guide. Yeah. Or if you don't want to use a guide, you can get a lot more use out of it because it's going to take you a lot longer to do trial and error. Absolutely. Through this game. Both ways are fun. I actually, like I mentioned earlier, I actually found it more fun to use a guide, but it was. I've played it for years, trying to play it the other way too. So, I think for $10, it's totally worth it. I pay $30 to go to a concert for 2 hours.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Why not pay $10 to play a game for 3 or 4 hours?
I'm actually going to edit my answer. If it's $10, I'll get that, and I'll pick up the Steam game. That's what I'll do.
Yeah, there you go. All right. There's no reason to buy two.
Yeah.
Unless you just really want to.
Like, I was sitting here thinking, I'm like, wow, that's real silly. Here I am, like, trying to sell my collection, and I'm buying two of games, you know?
Yeah. I was really sad to hear that, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Although, that thought has crossed my mind a million times.
Yeah. It's really sad to, like, to have gotten home. I went out after I, like, priced out everything out, and I came home, and there's my collection sitting on the table all stacked up, and I was just, my heart broke a little bit.
But really, honestly, and I think, I can't remember if it was Fox Dude or who it was that said it, but in the digital age, having hard copies of games just becomes less and less desirable, you know, for me too, just space-wise. And
yeah.
The fact that they're worth so much money. I mean, I look in my closet and I've got hundreds of games.
Yeah.
Some of them worth a lot of money. And I'm just thinking, you know, I could totally just have this money.
Yeah.
And this space in my closet.
And I'm stressing out because I'm starting to think, all right, when's the bottom of this going to fall out? Like,
right.
These when's games are worth a lot nothing? Of money. But what if in a couple months from now, something happens and they're worth next to nothing?
What if, now hear me out, what if the Switch comes out with this is never going to happen, by the way, a Netflix-like service where you're just like, oh, boom, all Nintendo games for $15 a month.
That sounds amazing.
Right, and then all your games are worthless, okay. Basically, because why would somebody want to buy, you know, well, I can understand you want to buy the whole Mega Man set or something, but it's worth a lot of money, you know?
Yeah, and I think that was the hardest part.
It wouldn't be
worth
as much, you know, if it was...
Yeah.
Readily available.
I think that's actually the hardest part for me is because I have such an attachment to Mega Man, and to have those are basically all I wanted out of the collection. But even then, I don't need those. Like, I have Mega Man 7, and that's a couple $100. Like, it doesn't make any sense to never get played.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And
that's kind of, other than playing for the show, my games, the actual cartridges don't get played a whole lot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad.
Not too long ago, I did earmuffs, everybody. I did build like a demo machine that can just play anything. And it's just...
Mm. Did you use a RetroPie?
Yeah. And I have...
Or not a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, I used a Raspberry Pi and I have all of the connectors to use all of the original controllers. So it's like...
It makes you just not really want...
Yeah. I mean, I love having them there, but it's serving no purpose other than me looking at it and being like, yeah, I've got those.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing, too. I was thinking about the other day. If Nintendo comes out and actually does a achievement type system, which is what everybody's hoping they're going to do, and they make that retroactive to some of their old games, there's no way that, and I'm sorry, there's no way I'm keeping my Super Mario Brothers on a cart when I can buy it on Virtual Console and get trophies or something for it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'll rebuy those.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid to want that,
and that's
that intangible prize, right?
And that's the kind of thing that would take me away from just being okay sitting there playing a Raspberry Pi, as opposed to going and actually paying and downloading again the same game. Yeah. I want them trophies, man.
Right. Same here. Or I mean, imagine if Nintendo not only built in like a trophy, or let's just use the first Super Mario Brothers for an example, right? They build in trophies and they build in like leaderboards for like clear times or scores or something. For like I'm never playing an emulator again. I mean, a demo again. You know what I mean? And I would pay $30 to play Super Mario Bros. 1 or something like that.
Yeah, 100%. I wouldn't pay $30 for Mario 1.
Well, that's like, maybe not $30.
I'd pay $30. I'd play $30 for Mario 3 with achievements. Yeah. And an ability to let me save.
Yeah, save would be nice too. One.
Did you come up with any trophies?
Yes, I came up with a couple.
Yeah.
Hold on just one second. Let me pull them up here.
Yeah. I can actually I can go through one while you're pulling it up if you want.
Yes, please do.
All right. This one's going to be a nice little reference to... This is a reference to Game of Thrones. I know not everyone's seen it, but for anyone who has, you'll think it's pretty good. The achievement name is There Is Only One Thing We Say to Death. And to get that, complete the game without dying.
Oh.
The one thing you say to death is not today.
Okay, I didn't know. I've never watched that show.
Not today.
They say it all British-like, too?
Yeah. Well, everyone in that show has like a British or an Irish accent, kind of. Like, not super heavy, but that's kind of the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. My first trophy is he or she decides to eat you for breakfast, and that is be killed by the pink-winged furry white thing. I don't even know what it's called in the game, but there's this furry white thing in the game. It's got these pink wings. It looks really girly, actually, for a scary monster. It looks like a scary, girly monster. And then it says, he decides to eat you for breakfast. So if you get eaten by that, it's he or she decides to eat you for breakfast with a question mark.
Man, I'm trying to remember what one that was. That's pretty good, though. That's pretty good. I got You're Fired. There's no way you got this one. Just saying, but you're fired. You unlock that achievement or trophy by using the torch on yourself enough to light yourself on fire and die.
Yeah, nope, I did not do that one. Is that possible?
Yeah. If you try to burn yourself 3 times, you die.
Nice. My next one is called Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home. And to get that one is you can't figure out how to open the first door. And you just shut the game off and quit. That's how you get that trophy. not the first door. Like the first one that's locked.
Yeah.
Right. The one that you have to open the skull to get the key out to use. If you can't figure out how to open the skull and you just give up and quit, you get that trophy.
When you came up with that trophy, did you say in Cartman's voice?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Right.
Just making sure.
And with the proper cadence and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was perfect. Although I'm not going to repeat that.
Yeah.
I hear the train.
Yeah, I hear the train.
Can you hear the train?
I hear the train.
All right. It'll be at your house in about 30 minutes.
Nice. That's a very fast train. My next one I have is reuse, reduce, recycle. And you get reuse, reduce, recycle by using the sphere to put out the flames in the flame room. And the reason why I came up with that is I think it's the only item in the game that you use more than once.
Nice.
And that's the second time, and it goes away.
Torches, I guess, right? Well, they go away, though. No, you're right. No, you're right. They do go away. There's just a bunch of them. My next one is this Shadowgate or Bubble Bath, babes? And that is become so captivated by the woman's beauty that you forget about her predicament.
Oh, that was really good. Do you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I have. I do enjoy it, but I haven't gotten my wife into it, so I don't get to watch it very much.
Have you ever seen the episode where he sings The Nightman Cometh?
No.
Well, there's a part in that. I YouTube it later. Just look it up because I can't get into it here. But my last trophy is if you want to get into that boy's soul, and you get, if you want to get into that boy's soul, you pay the troll's toll until he kills you. Because you can actually pay him coins, and he'll kill you anyways.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. I have no mouth, but I must scream.
Nice.
Actually, it's I have no throat, but I must scream. But I know that's not the right reference, so I changed it up a little bit. But at the fountain part, you can't even scream because you no longer have a throat.
You tried to drink the acid, didn't you?
Yep. Right. Drank the acid.
Nice.
It pretty much eroded my throat away. And I couldn't even scream.
That's amazing.
So if you try to drink it, then That's what you get. You get that trophy.
Yeah, that actually has like a super gruesome description.
I know, right?
Yeah, some of these are just awful.
How do you know it's acid, right? It looks like water.
I was trying to come up with a trophy for that one as well, and mine was going to be like grabbing the flute, because then you like melt your hand because you don't have the gauntlet. But yeah, that's really gross.
Yep. So that's all I got, trophy wise.
Yeah, that's all I had.
Game rating.
Okay. Do you have a system?
How do you want to rate this game? No, we don't have a system. That's the point. We just come up with just about anything.
Did you want to rate this?
Let's see, what channel does Game of Thrones come on? Because this is a very Game of Thrones like
HBO.
Okay, so let's rate this as an HBO show.
Okay, I got mine.
All right, go ahead.
Do you put a number in front of it or just the show?
Just the show.
If I were to rate this show, I would give it a Dexter. This show is a Dexter to me, because while the show is sometimes aesthetically pleasing, you have no idea what's going on 90% of the time, and there's a lot of really messed up death scenes.
Mm, that's true. I think I will give this a... I'm going to give this a Sopranos.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I'm going to do that because... the ending of The Sopranos, people don't like it, and it's confusing, and it makes no sense. And so that's how I felt about this game when I was a kid, after a year of trying.
What did you think of the ending of this? Because I can actually take that. I don't like the ending of this game, and that sounds perfect. I love the game and hate the ending.
Yeah, I think it's weird. It struck me as odd, the ending of this game.
Like, between the behemoth just dragging the warlock back down into the pits, and then next thing you know, you're marrying a queen. It's just like, what is
what? Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, they skip a lot. They just had to, you got to use your imagination. Yeah. They skip a lot of parts. So
at that point, my imagination was pretty shot.
Yeah. All right. I got some feedback.
Yeah.
You want to go through some feedback real quick?
Let's do it.
All right. Google Plus, not Ryan Ballard. Which might be this guy's name if he continues to comment, since normally on Google Plus it's Ryan Ballard. But this is Simon Bostock. He says, "I loved it when I played through it. The deaths are really funny."
They are.
They are funny. I agree.
That's a very good call.
On Twitter, we have some feedback. George Vosper, dude George, says, "An awesome game, but difficult, obviously. Favorite part is the Time Reaper. That game would have had me pulling my hair out." Paul and Andy, Power Trip Gaming, says, "What a hard game." And then they have a quote from the game. "Investigate spill on floor. Alas, you feel the toxic substance kill your body." What a terrible way to die.
I almost had a trophy for that related to Nickelodeon.
Not GAC. What was it called? Slime.
The slime, yeah.
Yeah, Double Dare. Yeah. I double dare you to touch the spill on the floor.
There we go. There's one more trophy for y'all.
It's called Double Dare. There you go. Yeah. Touch the slime on the floor. NES Spectre says, "Love Shadowgate. Used to have it memorized and replayed it for fun." It's kind of what you got to do. You got to memorize it.
Yeah.
Josh Tice says, "Never played it. Can't wait to hear the episode." Well, hope you liked it, Josh.
Some great feedback on Twitter.
Facebook. Yeah. We don't get a lot of Twitter feedback. Yeah. But maybe because you guys retweeted it or something, because you're more active on the Twitter than we are.
Yeah, I just found out about this thing called TweetDeck, which literally just fills your entire screen with everything that's going on. It's like super overwhelming, and I feel like a ridiculous stockbroker. But man, it has like increased my Twitter usage by like 200%.
I tried it one time, and I couldn't do it. To do it, you have to focus too much on Twitter. And I can't do that. I need to be focused on other things and then just have Twitter as a second thought.
Nice.
But unfortunately, we gotta pick and choose our battles here. And Facebook seems to be our battle right now.
Hey, it seems to be working out for y'all.
Yeah. We like our Facebook people. Or Facebook deep patterns and dudes. Speaking of, how's that for a segue?
That was perfect.
Facebook says, Well, Facebook doesn't say it, but Bryce says it. Bryce says, I love point and click games, and this one is excellent. The music, the story, and the atmosphere of this game are great. I hate having to keep a torch lit at all times, though. That gets annoying. This is second only to Maniac Mansion when it comes to NES point and clicks for me.
That's a good decision.
Yeah, I would lean towards Maniac Mansion if we're going to bring Maniac Mansion up, but this game is good.
Ooh, I actually prefer this game. I've never been able to get through Maniac Mansion.
Well, it's just kind of the same thing, you know, trial and error. I like the comedy in Maniac Mansion better than the morbid comedy in this game.
You know, I'll have to sit down and play it because that's another one of those games that I picked up for my stepdad.
You should. It's good. And while you're at it, listen to our episode about it. Episode like 10, maybe 11. It's a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Andrew from Power Trip Gaming on Facebook says, this game is fun. I love the point-and-click genre of games. I played this on the Game Boy before the NES. This was the game that got me super into Clock Tower on the PlayStation.
Interesting.
PlayStation, man. Did you play that one?
Clock Tower? No. I watched my cousins play it a couple times. I never had it. Hmm. That game was too scary for me.
Speaking of Halloween episodes, right?
Right.
That's what it should have been.
It's terrifying.
Clock Tower. All right, we got a few more on Facebook here. Anthony Pig says, it's a great point-and-click adventure. Definitely a step up from the PC version. A lot easier to navigate and easier to manage the inventory. A lot of that trial and error and lots of replay. I've never played the PC version, so I don't know. I guess maybe it could be easier to manage the inventory. It seems odd that it would be easier to point and click on the NES than it would be on a PC, but maybe.
Yeah.
The Mac lovers out there will be very angry at you, Anthony, for saying PC version when it was a Mac venture, right?
Yeah, I'm over here biting my tongue.
All right. Ryan Reynolds says, this is one of my all-time favorites. I think my best run is around 20 minutes.
That's absurd.
Wow. That's fast.
That's insane.
I don't even think I can move that little finger around fast enough to get it done in 20 minutes.
He should probably honestly just start submitting speed runs of this game. I want to watch somebody do this in like 20 minutes.
Well, one thing that I did learn that helped me out, and you probably already know this, but I'll let anybody out there that doesn't already know this. You don't have to click move if you get rid of all your other options and just click the doorway. He will move through the doorway.
Did you know you don't even have to click the doorway? You just have to... Like down in
click
the
in the direction?
No, down in the lower left, there's a couple of boxes.
Oh, click one of the boxes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I found to be way easier.
But there's a move option.
Yeah.
But you don't actually have to click move as long as nothing else is selected.
Right.
So that helps move. That helped me once I figured that out, move through the game a lot faster.
Yeah.
Dave Vaught says, definitely an all-time favorite. Got to talk a teacher into bringing an NES and a computer for computer class day. Sorry. Have the class come up with the solutions and decide how to progress. It didn't go so well for the class, but it was fun. So it sounds like he got to take an NES to class one day and play this game.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Greg Polander says, great game. All three of the so-called Mac Venture games on the NES are, the other two being Deja Vu and Uninvited. We already talked about that, Greg. Thank you. Sorry. You didn't know we were going to talk about that. Very good music, fun and challenging puzzles without being too difficult. Interesting locations and enemies, and very good graphics. The game does a great job of capturing the feel of Shadowgate and creeping you out. It's aged well and also is still playable today. The music when your torch runs low always gave me a panic attack. The recent remake of the game is also very good. A must play for anyone who enjoys adventure games. Did Greg listen to all your points about this game?
I have no idea. But I'm sitting over here chuckling because I'm like, yep.
Daniel Walker says, I love this game. When I got a Game Boy Color, one of my first games was Shadowgate Classic, the port of the game. Since it started my NES collection back up, this was one of my first pickups. It's not easily scared, but games did scare me because there are so many ways to die, and you will die a lot playing this game. Very true. Peter Martin says, finally, you guys are reviewing a game that I actually have. I love this game. One of the first video games that I thought was creepy. It took a while to get the hang of it, and I thought it was pretty difficult when it came out. No internet cheats, etc. I think this will be one of the first RPGs besides Dragon Warrior? Either way, it's cool and creepy game to review for Halloween. Thank you, Peter. I don't know if I'd call it an RPG, but I could see it being RPG-like.
Yeah.
It's got some RPG-like elements.
Yeah, it's got
kind of like an Ultima type of style, you know?
Yeah.
Dave again asked, did anyone play the new remake or the one on N64? You said you played the remake and recommend it to everyone. I said I played the 64 and it's fun. But sounds like I'd like the remake better. for the PC.
Ugh, really need to get that.
Yeah, I'm going to. I will probably, if I'm still awake after this podcast, I'm going to download it.
Nice.
Fox Dude says, one of my favorites of all time. I have a lot of childhood memories trying to solve all the puzzles in this game.
Nice.
Gary Horick Jr. says, absolutely loved all three of these games on the NES. Stephen Michael says, I love point-and-click adventure games, and this one is no exception. I never played this game as a kid, but I definitely enjoyed it as an adult. The puzzles are cool, and this game ends well. Love the final boss. And then he leaves a spoiler. It's Dragon. Yeah, the behemoth is a dragon.
So I left a little comment out of there. I literally, like, my phone's been acting up. So I, in that huge space, I sat there for probably 5 minutes waiting for a picture to load up just to realize it was just a blank space.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, you know what I tried to do? I looked at it on my computer, right?
Yeah.
I tried to click and drag to see if he had, like, made it white or something. You know what I mean? You can highlight words. And before I realized that, oh, it says it's a freaking dragon down at the bottom.
That's funny.
Anyways.
That's funny.
And then last comment to round us out on Facebook is from Sean Muldowney. Says, yeah, I like this game a lot. So whoever that hoser is.
Hey, man. I felt like I had to at least leave feedback if I was going to be coming on.
Well, there's also some other feedback. We got a voicemail from a Sean, but he says he's calling about the Goonies 2 game. So
yeah,
according to the Google Translate of the voicemail. So I may just say that one.
All right.
Since Sean's on the show.
Yeah.
It may be better just say that one for another show.
It would have been kind of weird to hear myself.
We did that with Joe, and I think it freaked him out. So.
Yeah. That's funny.
All right. That pretty much wraps the show up. You want to tell people about your show one more time, and then I'm going to do some a few little shout-outs.
Yeah, totally. So, guys, I know I didn't do a very good job of describing what I do and what my buddy and I do, but we run a podcast. It's called Nerdy Thursday, where we talk about everything from games to movies to TV shows.
I got a question for you. Does it come out on Thursdays?
Yeah, it comes out on Thursdays. And of course,
wow. How about that?
We're going to be, if we ever do like special episodes, it doesn't necessarily, those don't have to really come out on Thursdays, but like our real episodes, like our numbered ones, are going to be coming out on Thursdays. For the past month, we've been going through a bunch of different horror movies and talking about those. The real kicker between us is, you know, we're also, let me just preface this real quick, say we're not a family-friendly podcast, so keep that in mind, but we don't always get along with everything, so it's one of my favorite parts is when we actually go at it. I find that to be highly entertaining, and it leads to some really funny situations, so we hope that you guys enjoy it. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud, just type in Nerdy Thursday. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdythursday and on Twitter, twitter.com/nerdythursday. We're super active on both of those, so come on there, talk to us, let us know what you think.
Nice. And Sean has been a longtime listener and supporter of our show, so even though I haven't even listened to the show yet, I recommend it.
I actually, if I can just get a shout out real quick, you guys are the first podcast I ever even listened to. You guys got us.
Oh, cool.
You guys got me into podcasting, and you guys got me to listen to other podcasts. Like the first time I ever listened to Tadpog was when you guys did a Patreon with them, and now you guys are on my constant rotation. They're on my constant rotation. Joe's on my rotation, and you know, everyone's just been super helpful and super, super awesome in this whole process that we've been going through. So, you know, this community is such a beautiful thing. So I want to just shout everyone out.
That's the best part about podcasting, because that happened to us too. You know, we started listening to Rob Luther's show, The Retro Junkies, and then we started a show like 3 years ago, and you know, and then we're able to do that for other people too. And then I guarantee you'll end up doing it for people too. It's just the way it works.
Yeah. Man.
And everybody's always not. There's never been a single person. Of course, we haven't gone after like an Adam Carolla or something, but there's never been a person that said, if we said, hey, you want to do a show together? Nobody. Everybody's like, yeah. Sounds great.
Absolutely.
You know, anybody we ever ask, big or small, they're always like, yeah, let's do it. So it's a cool community. I worry that podcasting, because it's getting big.
Yeah.
It's been getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year. Right now, it's pretty much free for all, unregulated, beautiful, free form economy of podcasting, right?
Right.
I worry that one day it may not be that, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Right now it's going strong. Everything's working out great.
And to tie back to what you just said, with it being just, it's almost to the point, it's almost super saturated right now. And this is coming from the guy that's only been doing it for a month and a half. So I'm part of that.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, it's really cool to have become so close in a community that listens to podcasts, where I can come on here and I can enjoy a show with you and we can talk, I can shout out my show and we can produce something that's awesome here. Or I can go on Joe's show. Joe can come on my show. Like, it all kind of works to self-promote everybody else. So it's just,
yeah, nobody, it's not a competition for some reason, exactly. In podcasting, which is also nice. You know, everybody's wanting to help everybody else out. Everybody promotes everybody else. It's just a nice community.
You know, I was blown away. My favorite part about our podcast is our theme music that I got from Mason Kramer, who just like recorded something on one of his streams. And I'm like, hey, man, can we use this? You're like, yeah, totally. I mean, I recorded it for you. I'm like, holy smokes.
And Mason is, not only is he an accomplished, well, I call him accomplished because he's awesome, but I'm, you know, a musician, but he's also freaking speedrunner's high score.
Yeah.
Mario wizard too on the side, or I don't even know which one's his main gig anymore. I know he does his streams and stuff, which I check out every now and then, but man,
his streams get huge.
And Mason's an awesome dude too.
Yeah.
You know, that's what helped. I mean, that's why his streams getting big. Cause he's a cool guy to watch, cool guy to listen to, cool guy to, I assume, hang out with. We hope to get him on the show one day, but
yeah, that'd be pretty cool. He's got cool. A lot of knowledge.
Yeah, he does. You know, I don't know. I love podcasts. It's one of the best things, you know, best things I've done. And one thing, and we can end on this before I give out a few shout outs.
Totally.
For people, I know there's a lot of people listening that have started their own podcast or thinking about starting their own podcast or have started their own podcast. I obviously say you can reach out to us and we'll help you any way we can. But I also, just as a thing to do, just don't pay attention to your downloads and stuff. One of the best things I ever did was quit paying attention to downloads. I have no idea how many people listen. I don't. I really have no idea. We just quit. We just ignore them. We don't look at the download stats or anything.
That's
the thing that I pay attention to. That I know it's tough, and it was hard for me to break away from it, but I did, and I never looked back. I don't even look at them anymore. The thing we pay attention to is how much people interact with us on a personal level, like on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. And as long as that's coming in, that's all we really care about. So
that's an awesome, but awesome thought.
I would recommend doing that to anyone who can. And I understand it's really hard, especially when you're starting out and you're wanting to see how many people are, how much you're growing and all this stuff. But I don't know. It's a lot more enjoyable for me once I quit. Well, a couple of years ago, I quit paying attention to downloads, and it's just been a lot more enjoyable since then, because I don't really worry about it. People send us hate mail every now and then, like, oh, your audio sounds like crap. And I just say, well, you know. Sorry. We just, you know.
Mitch and I have been sharing one mic. He just got his own mic today. And I'm just so thrilled that we haven't gotten any guff from that.
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, as long as there's 10 other people to that one person that is enjoying it and commenting and having a good time and building community, then it's great. So it doesn't matter. But anyways, enough about podcasting in general. But speaking of podcasting, I guess, everybody go check out the Retro Junkies, retrojunkies.com. They are the parent network of ours. They've done a lot for us. They do a lot for the retro gaming community in general. There's a lot of good shows on there. A lot of shows that are a little bit stagnant right now, but they'll be back. These guys don't want to ever quit doing this stuff. Rob keeps threatening to retire or something, but he's worse than Michael Jordan about coming back. So he'll be back. And Nick Stevens, he desperately wants all of his podcasts, and people, I don't want to say leave him hanging, but you know, he's done a lot for the community, even without actually recording podcasts. I know Aaron's awesome too. He's an awesome guy.
Aaron's awesome.
So Aaron does a lot of stuff, music and stuff. It's just crazy. I don't want to go off on people because I'm going to forget people. And I probably made a bunch of people mad saying that they left Nick hanging. I'm sure he left people hanging too. So that's just the way it works. But, yeah. And the Wii guy, I want to shout him out too, because I feel like we forget to shout him out, but we use his music all the time, and that's just it's not cool for us to just yank his music and not shout him out. So go to the Wii guy on YouTube. He does good stuff. And of course, Jason Fox, Fox Dude, with our awesome logo and Goonies poster, which somebody will get once we record a Goonies episode. So that'll be cool.
Nice. Nice, nice.
And this is normally the part where Justin tells you where to find us. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say Google us, see what happens. Two dudes in an S.
You can go to sure you'll find something. Dudes, and there's a little phone. Click on that. give them a call.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you can do my part.
Leave them a voicemail. It's really cool. Go there. Check it out on your phone right now. Click that little phone. See if it works.
Do it right now.
Just see if it works.
Unless you're driving. Don't do it if you're driving.
Yeah.
Wait for a stoplight and then make the person behind you really mad.
Yep. And that's about all I know of your part.
Well, that's really all I did.
All right.
And then try to rattle off the numbers for the phone number that I can never remember.
772-7-RETRO-1. No. I was close. 772-RETRO-1. 772-773.
Okay, I got to look
at it. Man.
You're killing me.
I'm killing it.
775-7-RETRO-1. You're so close. 775-7-RETRO-1.
Man.
So, all right. Thanks, Sean, for coming on and filling in for Justin for a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. This is always a blast.
And I'm going to have to figure out how to get the Nintendo Switch in our feed somehow so that people search for that and get this episode instead.
Sounds pretty good. Just name it Nintendo Switch.
Maybe that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
and then just say in the description, we actually talked about Shadowgate for at least half the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good
maybe
call.
20 minutes worth. Yeah. All right. See y'all.
Later.
All right.
I'm also laughing. Was that a segue?
I don't know. Was it?
Trophies?
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, it's totally true. Yeah, as a segue. So, do you have any trophies?
I'm sitting over here laughing. I'm like, this is the best segue I've ever heard you do.
And it totally was not.